Developing habits can be good too, because there's a lot of habits that we can develop in our life. And I would like, you know, for me, I want to make those habits addictions. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, because we can have healthy habits and we can have healthy addictions. One of those, I've got 4 points this morning, or four things I want to talk about. And so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord. I just praise you this morning, Lord, and I want to speak your word as clearly. Lord, let your words be spoken through me. Lord, use me this morning. Take everything away that may hinder, Lord, from me. Clear my mind, Lord, this morning, that I may receive everything that you have for me to speak. Lord, let your word be open and heard. Lord, let our hearts be open. Let our minds be clear, that we may receive your word this morning. Lord, I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think all of us know what hunger is. I think we know what it's like to get hungry, and some of you may be hungry now. You know, thinking about lunch afterwards. I know we got Thanksgiving meal prepared, or getting prepared. We're going to have, for my family, my immediate family, and we're going to have ham. I'm making everybody hungry, aren't I? Yeah. You know, ham and mashed potatoes and green beans and maybe some pie and some cake. And sounds good, doesn't it? Huh? Well, I mean, you ever really been hungry? I mean, just really hungry. And I mean, I know that I've been hungry. You know, I've fasted at times, and there's been times that, you know, but usually no more than 4 or 5 hours and my belly starts to growl and I'm looking for something to eat, right? I mean, most of us are like that. And today, in this place where we live, you know, here in Anna, there's quite a few restaurants here in town, maybe not the greatest at what we would say, or the best pick. But for the most part, we don't have to look very far to find something to eat. And some of it satisfies us, and some of it really doesn't satisfy us that well, and it doesn't satisfy for very long, right? And, you know, I can imagine, you know, Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 4 is our scripture focus this morning. Jesus goes 40 days without eating. And I can't imagine that kind of hunger. I mean, can you imagine what it's like to fast for 40 days? Now, I don't know, is there anybody here that's done that, fasted for 40 days? I have to admit, I have never fasted 40 days. And unless God tells me to fast for 40 days, I have no intention to do so. But I think that's something that God has to direct you in doing. Because that's 40 days is beyond healthy, right? And I know that some of us have health issues and stuff like that. It hinders us from fasting from food, but there's other things we can fast from. We know that. You know, there's other things. But let's read this morning. I want to read through this. And when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that cometh from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. this scripture pretty powerful, isn't it? You know, and like I said, we all know what hunger, we all know what it's like to feel hungry, and the need for food is a basic human survival. We have to have food to survive, but we also hunger for more than just food. Our world is filled with nonstop advertisements for things that promise to satisfy our hunger for a purpose, a hunger for purpose. You know, a purpose for belonging and a purpose of worth. We need to feel that way. We have to, for most things, our world is filled with nonstop things like this, and it tries to satisfy our hunger for things. You know, we're always looking for something that will satisfy us. But the things of this world can only satisfy you for a short time. Only satisfy you for a short time. And many of these promises of the world are empty lies that leave us feeling sick to our stomachs. And I know that sometimes when we eat, if we eat the wrong foods, it can leave us sick to our stomach. If we eat too much of the right food. And some of us like to eat. I do. I don't maybe look like I like to eat, but I really like to eat. You know, I like steak. I like to eat a big steak, you know, that's cooked just right. But, you know, sometimes I can cook that myself, and I've tried many, many, many times, and I can cook a steak okay, but it never seems to satisfy me. It never seems to be right. I'm never happy with what I do when it comes to that. And even the best and most satisfying things that this world offers, sometimes it's work. You know, we accomplish things in our work life. And sometimes we tend to get proud of those things like that, but it never satisfies. Loving relationships. Sometimes we get involved in loving relationships in our marriages, and sometimes those don't satisfy us like we want. They're just really merely appetizers to what we really need. They ain't the main course. You know, most of us crave, and I think all humanity craves, a higher relationship with something. We're always seeking something better to satisfy us. But Jesus knew we crave something more, a hunger to know God and to be known by God. That's the hunger that we look for. You know, Jesus knew what this hunger was. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And I can imagine I would be too after 40 days of not eating. I don't think any of us... I don't know how that would feel. And here comes Satan saying, "Hey, how about some bread?" Now, I remember when Bunny Bread was in town. Who remembers that? Man, I miss that, don't you? Yeah. I remember driving through town, and you could just smell it. Man, that was just a wonderful smell. I mean, we all get smiles on our faces just thinking about it. I can still, just thinking about it, I can smell it. And can you imagine not eating for let's say, 3 days for most of us? Because 3 days is a lot to even think about. And can you imagine, after 3 days of not eating, driving through Anna when Bunny Bread was going? Man, that'd be almost unbearable, wouldn't it? This was quite a temptation here. It's not really what I'm talking about this morning, but I had to throw that in there because... I miss Bunny Bread. I really do. You know, Jesus was physically weak and Satan was a tempter. You know, and he approached Jesus with a proposition, satisfy your hunger with bread. And in fact, take these stones and make them bread if you're really powerful enough. And Jesus did not take, you know, he didn't give in. Instead, Jesus quoted scripture. Jesus quoted scripture, and he recalled the time when do you remember when the Israelites were hungry too? They had been wandering in the desert, discouraged and in need of food, but when they needed it most, God came. And he nourished them, and it rained down from heaven, and everyone ate until they were satisfied. God took care of them. You know, the scripture says man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The manna was more than just food. It was a manifestation of what we truly, truly are all hungry for, and that's the presence of God. The manna was evidence that God was with his people, and he had not abandoned them. He had not forgotten them. He saw them and gave them their portion every morning. Our hunger for the presence of God is satisfied in the Word of God. And the first habit that we need to... The habit of reading the scripture, the habit of digging into the word, the habit of knowing. This is how he defeated Satan here. This is how he got him, by knowing the word. And I don't want just a habit of reading the word. I want it to be an addiction. Does it make sense? Making healthy habits. This habit of reading the Word sometimes is not easy. It takes work. I mean, it's something we have to start doing. It's like any other habit that this world puts on. You have to make an effort to start first, right? You have to have a desire to start. And then it becomes a habit. And then it becomes an addiction. Does it make sense this morning? Am I off here? Got my notes out here. The second one is humility. We have to be humble. We have to humble ourselves before God, and that's not always easy because we don't always want to be humble. But actually, God requires humility for us, from us. I'll put it that way. Charles Spurgeon said once, as well might a gnat seek to drink in the ocean as a finite creature to comprehend the eternal God. You know, we'll never understand or completely grasp all the scripture. We can never understand all the word. No matter what level you're on in life, we cannot understand. You know, some of us have got, sixth grade education, and some of us have got a doctorate degree. But no matter what level that you're on, do you follow what I'm saying? No matter what level that you're on, it's still, you cannot. I don't care how far you get into your education, you cannot completely understand or grasp the fullness of God. The more I learn, the more I want to know. The more I know, the more I need to grow. Because I don't know. I'm like, well, I'm human. You know, it's humbling. But humility can actually increase our appetite to grow in our habit of study. That's what I'm talking about. That habit of study, that habit of wanting to learn more about God. This habit of humility can help that. And we look at Job in Job 38, 3 and 4. God speaks to Job and says this, "Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations?" Man, that was direct, wasn't it? It's like, hey, who are you to question me? Where were you at? And I think about that. It's not about me. It's not about anything that I did. God had this plan already laid out before I was ever born. And who am I to question God's plan? I have to humble myself to Him because He is God. You know, there's actually great comfort in humility. And this whole thing doesn't rest on you. God is in control, and God sees all His... He sees all and is working all together for His good. All things work for the good of God if we trust Him. But we have to trust Him. You know, God sometimes leads us to understand that we have no answers for God, but He has the answers for us. He always has an answer for us. In Exodus, God led the nation of Israel by a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. He illuminated their path through His light. And in Psalms 119 and 105 through 112, we also read of the Word of God as a light. God is illuminating our steps so that we don't get lost or lose our footing in the darkness. And in Psalms acknowledges that God's Word is light, but also makes the commitment to, we have to make the commitment to follow the light. There is humility in acknowledging that your life should follow God's light. And that's the humility I'm talking about this morning. There is only one who can give orders to the morning, and it is not you or me. In Scripture, that's where we meet God. In Scripture, that's where we learn about our Creator. In Scripture, that's what we learn about the Sustainer of life. He made everything. That's where we learn it. That's where we get to meet Jesus at, is when we read His Scripture and study. You know, how we proceed from here in this world is one step at a time. But we got to let the Word of God be the lamp for our feet and the light of our paths. We have to humbly trust that God is with us every step of the way. And that's hard sometimes because things that we go through in life brings us to this place sometimes where we don't want to trust anybody. And we don't understand, and we want answers. We want God to just say, well, this is what's happening, and this is why you're going to do this, and this is why this is happening to you. But that doesn't always happen that way. We have to trust God. The third thing I want to talk about is holiness. This church is a holiness church. We even, you know, we're called unto holiness is our slogan, our motto. This is who we are. We're called unto holiness. What's that mean? It means we strive to live that holy life. That's what we do. We're called to do that. We feel this hunger, this need to do that and to live a holy life, we have to develop good habits in our life. And those good habits can develop into an addiction to living that life as well. A hunger, an addiction to hunger and thirst for righteousness and humility. Living a holy life. A godly life is always grounded in God's Word. Remember, Word is... Everything that we do is centered around God's Word. Everything that we do, everything in our Christian life is centered around the Word of God. The Apostle Paul writes to a young man named Timothy, and he says, all Scripture is God-breathed. Paul is saying that Scripture comes from the mouth of God, not the mind of men. When he writes the word Scripture, Paul is saying that Scripture comes from the mouth of God, not the mind of men. And when he writes this word Scripture, he's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. And he says, they are God-breathed. And what does that mean in the New Testament? Scriptures. In 1 Timothy 5:18, Paul quotes the words of Jesus in Luke 10 and 7. He calls them Scriptures as well. And it's important to understand that all Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, is God-breathed. It is all written for a purpose, for our benefit. When you obey the Scripture, you're obeying God. And if we're going to live godly lives, then we have to make sure that we don't get the last word or our friend's word, but we have to get God's word. It's not about what we think. Sometimes we have our own opinions. It's not about what we think. It's not about what our friends think. It's about what God's word says. It's about what God thinks.
Amen.
And the way we know that is to read and study the Scripture. God's word should have the last word in everything in our life. I know that when I get myself in the way, things get messed up. When I want to do things my way, when I have my opinion, things get messed up. But when I go to the Word of God and I read that and I apply that to my life, I know that it's right. It may not look right to the world, but it's right because it's God's Word. And I know that in today's society, people want to say, well, no, that's not right. They want to debate this. There is no debate. God's word is true. We have to stand firm on that. And when Satan comes to tempt you and says, that's not true, this is what the word says, you can say, no, no, no. This is what the word says. It's written. Come on now.
Amen.
When this world comes at you, you can defeat the world with the word of God. Talking about healthy habits. I'm talking about healthy habits that turn into addictions. I want to be addicted to Jesus. That's what I want. I want to not be able to go without Him. I want to crave Him so bad that I can't help but read His Word every day. I can't help but want to do and keep His commands because I know that's what God wants me to do. Lifestyle of holiness. That's what our church is really all about and has been. It's not about what I think, again. It's not about what the world thinks. It's about what God wants for His people, and He wants the best for His people. Paul continues to say that Scripture is useful. When you create a habit of study, you're not studying a collection of, you know, old, outdated literature. It's not that. It's not a historical book. It is in a way, but it's also real and alive. It's useful in our lives. It's useful for our salvation. You know, people wonder how they can witness to people. And I know many that have gotten saved by nothing more than hearing the Word of God or reading the Word of God. Timothy 3:15 says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ." The Word of God is useful for teaching and training and righteousness. The Word of God is useful for bringing conviction and correction to our lives, and the Word of God will train you how to live a godly life and then bring you conviction when your life gets off track. You know, we're not perfect people, and sometimes we get pulled away and we start getting away. But if you stay close to the Scripture, if you stay close to the Word, if you stay close to God, it will let you know when you're getting off the path. And it will bring you back. It will woo you back. It's useful to equip us for every good work. Doesn't sound like a bad habit to me, right? The servant of God is equipped by the Scriptures from God. Let me tell you, if you don't know your Scripture, it's going to be hard for you. I mean that. That's where we learn. That's where we grow. All this is only possible if we apply the Word of God. It is important that we don't look at the Word of God and forget what it says, ignoring the call to live it out. You know, there's a lot of people that live with the thought that all you do is believe in God and that's it. Now, don't take this the wrong way. Because grace was only given once. Christ only died once. He was only crucified once, right? He did it one, and He did it for all who believe in Him. And the Scripture says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's true. Why? Because that's what the Word says. I believe that. This holiness, this hunger, this humility, this habit that we establish in our life is only possible if we apply the Word of God in our lives. And it is important that we don't look at the Word of God and forget. I'm repeating what I just said. And ignoring the call to live it out. If we want to live a godly life, then we have to read it, understand it, and apply the Word of God to our lives every day. Because if we don't, and here's my point, Satan will take full advantage of you. And he'll keep you in a defeated place that you always feel like you're never worthy, you're never good enough, you're never this, you'll always feel depressed like you can never do anything. We'll get through this one more. Is that okay? It'll only take me about 45 minutes. I'm just joking. I had to wake you up there. You know, with all this, hope comes with this is my last point. If we're in the Word of God, we find that we are not alone through all this. We're never alone. As we read, we begin to see ourselves in these unexpected stories. When we read and study, and we're not alone in our pain, in our questions, in our fears. And many before us have felt, you know, the same way. I know many of you felt that way before. But when we read the Scripture, we see the pattern that's developed from the beginning to the end. We see this pattern that is developed through it all. And that pattern is love. God loves us. He loves you and He loves me. And throughout the whole Scripture, from the beginning to the end, we are proved that love that He has for us. In the Word of God, we find a big story that we are a part of. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
You're a part of this. You're a part of this plan. God created you. He created me to be a part of this plan. You know, the Bible, it has a beginning and an end. You know, we live in a world that sometimes looks chaotic. And in some areas, very chaotic. And I think we're living in a time right now where we're going to start seeing more chaos in this country than we've ever seen before. And I think most of you know what I'm talking about. We're one election away from seeing more persecution done to the church than this church has ever seen in America. And it can happen like that. My call to you this morning, are you ready? Are you studied up? Are you prayed up? Are you ready to endure the things that might come about in the future? And the reason I say this, because I have hope in a Savior, because I've read the book. I know what's to come. I've seen the beginning. I've read the end. I know what He says. He's established His plan. I believe in that Word. I know it's the truth. I know what's to come.
Amen.
Come on now. I have to stay studied up. I have to stay prayed up because I know that one day, not only will I have to give an account to Him, but are we ready to endure? You know, all the disciples, and we can think about what Job went through, and we can think about many characters in the Bible, the struggles they went through. But the disciples, you know what? God was with them. God chose them. He trained them. They knew the Word. They studied the Word. And guess what? They still were persecuted. And all of them but one unto death. And John was still persecuted. He was in prison on the island of Patmos. I mean, he went through a lot too. Are you ready for that? I'm not saying it'll happen to you in your life. We've got it easy here. And I think we don't realize it. How blessed we are here. I'm not saying this to scare people. I'm really not. But there again, I am to say, listen, study and read your Word. Because I believe every word of this. I believe what is to come. Jesus says, hey, this is going to happen. Simple. I fear for my kids. I think that my kids are going to have to endure things that I didn't have to endure, and their kids are going to have to endure things that we wouldn't even think of happening. But yet, right here in the book, it says it. Right here in the book, it says it, and we can't ignore it. And whether it happens in our lifetime or happens in the next generation, a lifetime, we have to train up people, and that's what the Word's about. We have to teach. We have to train. It's here to equip the saints. And that's why I'm telling you this morning. Because it is, I feel like my call to equip the saints. It is my call to encourage you, to spur you along, to say, listen, this is real. And what I read, we need to encourage each other. We need to train up our kids in the way that the Word says. We need to live by what the Bible says. We need to live by the commands that it says. Why? Because it's what it tells us to.
It's what it tells us.
I don't want to get off in the bushes here this morning. You know, in the Word of God, we meet Jesus, and Jesus changes everything. Jesus is the anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus is our hope, and we get to know Jesus in God's Word, and not just the part that talks about His birth and His death and His resurrection. Jesus is everywhere And the whole Bible is soaked with Jesus. Read it. So we have a hunger for His Word, and we have a humility when we read His Word. It humbles us. It draws us to live a holy life. And we live out that holy life with hope. Amen.
Amen.
I know, man. I believe it. I believe one day that song that we sang, I mean, it just broke me down this morning. I know one day I'm going to see Him face to face. One day, man, this is real to me. I'm going to repeat that over and over and over again. If I have to say it every time I get up here and preach, that's just what I mean. I mean it. I'm not perfect by any means. You can just ask my wife. She'll tell you. You want to talk about it? Everybody needs an accountability partner. If you're married, you got one. Whether you like it or not. They'll tell you everything that you do wrong. I'll guarantee you that, right? Amen? Lottie's laughing. But we need each other. We need each other. I hope that this encourages you to study, to make healthy habits in your life. I challenge you for that. You know, you can be deceived by not knowing the Word. And I tell you, you can be deceived by many people if you don't know the Word. There's people that can tell you a lot of things. The thing is Satan knew the Word because he was with the Word. He was in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord. I thank You for Your Word, Lord. Thank You for giving us this Word. So many people went through so much just so we could have it available to us, Lord. And Lord, You saw that through. It was Your plan. Lord, I believe everything that's written, Lord, and I want to live it to the best of my ability, Lord. Just give me strength. I humble myself before You this morning because I believe in Your Word, Lord. And I just ask You to be here in our lives as we leave this place, Lord. Don't leave us. Go with us and guide and direct us in everything that we do. But Lord, open up our minds and let us receive Your Word every day. Let us retain it. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, and I also pray if there's anyone here this morning that does not have a relationship with You, Lord, I pray Your Holy Spirit fall upon them this morning. Show them Your love. Lord, let Your Word be heard in their hearts. Lord, I praise You. Keep us safe through the week. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.